We are also saying we will endeavor in filling all the vacant positions in the fund, and therefore we will ensure that our vacancy rate is kept at a minimum of 10% for the current financial year. In terms of information and communication strategy, we will be implementing the next phase, which is phase two of the enterprise resource planning system, and which will focus mainly on our core business, which is the operations module, so that we can ensure optimal payment of benefit to our beneficiaries. Improved client service, we are saying 90% of valid claims will be completed, and we will ensure that we approve those claims within 5 weeks of application. Technology to improve service delivery. Percentage of claims submitted through a UIF claims portal. We are saying we want to increase the uptake of our e-filing system by 10% at the end of the financial year. Percentage increase on usage of e-filing. This is concerning employers. We want to increase the number of employers utilizing the system by 40% at the end of the financial year. Increased revenue inflows. We are saying we want a 6% increase in the number of new employer registrations as compared to previous year by the end of March 2015. And percentage increase in terms of contributions. We also want to increase the contributions by employers by 6% compared to the previous financial year. We also will be focusing on reducing losses within the fund, and we will ensure that we collect 25% of outstanding over payment balance by the end of March 2015. In relation to educating the public with regard to our services in the fund, we will ensure that for each province, we at least conduct 4 campaigns by the end of the financial year. And also, we are going to continue to use a diversified media platform to communicate our services to the public. And our target is that we would like to reach 48 million people within the financial year. We are also saying, in terms of stakeholder relations, we are not just going to communicate and create awareness around our benefits, but we will also conduct a client satisfaction survey just to assess the impact of our communication and also solicit from the public information that they do not know. So we are saying we want to improve client satisfaction by 10%. In comparison with the previous survey that was conducted. I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Member. The slide is just a summary of the UIF budget. We basically break down our budget into 4 programs. One which would be administration that talks to the support services for the fund, which would include all services, corporate services, finance, HR, and ICT. And we also would then have business operations, which would be including the budget for the benefits that we pay, as well as for the costs of running the provincial, as well as the labor center operations, as well as the operations unit at head office. Then we also have budget for our labor activation programs, which is the program that is responsible for managing the job creation initiatives of the UIF. Now, the budget for the 2014-15 for the administration budget is sitting at 701 million. This would then include the payment for the support services at UIF, as well as for the split billing arrangement that we have with the Department of Labor in terms of the support services that the department renders for the UIF, both at the Department of Labor head office as well as at the provincial office. And we are projecting that this would increase at a rate equivalent 3 years over the MTF period. On the benefits, what we have included, members would note that benefits are increasing by more than 40% compared to the last financial year. Here we factored in the possible implementation of the UI amendment bill, which is aimed at improving benefits that the UIF pay. We had anticipated that we will start implementing these new improvements once the bill has been passed into law, and we anticipated that would happen in the current financial year. And over and above that, we also then budgeted for the cost of our operations, the implementation of the new UIF structure at head office with regard to the operations unit, which is the co-operations of the fund, as well as the implementation of the structure coming out of the restructuring that is happening at the department at provincial office levels. And for the labor activation fund, members would note that there has been a huge increase in the budget over the MTF period compared to what we've been spending over the last 3 years. Now, from 2010-11 up to 2012-13, we were basically piloting the training initiatives and setting up our processes and systems in place to make sure that we are able to contribute to job creation. And as of December last year, when the minister launched the job creation schemes, we are now ready to implement and roll these training schemes to a much wider audience than we have been during the pilot stage. Hence, we've increased the budget there from expenditure of around 30 million to over 550 million in this current financial year, and we project to increase them over the MTF period. And on the budget share. I touched on the legislation amendment. Now, the bill was approved by Cabinet in 2013, and the subsequent process was that the department then released the UI amendment bill for public comment during the 2013 year. And after incorporating all the comments that had come out of the public in the bill, it was then tabled at NEDLAC for deliberation by social partners and NEDLAC. And these deliberations were concluded in around November 2013. And then the cabinet approved that the bill may be submitted to Parliament for further processing. I think we're at that stage now where the bill is ready to be presented to Parliament for deliberation in the portfolio committee and so on, and for the rest of the process to be to unfold. If we go to the next slide, it just summarizes the proposed amendments on what the bill deals with. One of the things that we're looking at is to include public servants, as the Commissioner indicated earlier, that public servants are excluded from being covered by the UIF. We're also looking at also including learners, because people on a learnership contract are also excluded from coverage by the UIF. We're also looking at extending the period of benefits from the current 8 months to 12 months, meaning people will then get benefits for a full 12 months as opposed to the current 8 months. We're also extending the period within which a person can lodge a claim. Currently, if a person has not lodged a claim within a period of 6 months, the person will not be able to claim post that period. We've now extended that because there are a number of reasons why people might not be able to show up at the labor center and claim within 6 months of losing their job, so we basically then increased that. We also then also want to allow people to claim regardless of when they last submitted a claim. Currently, a person accumulates credits over a period of 4 years. And if a person uses all these credits within that 4 years and starts working again and starts accumulating credits, he will not be able to use those credits until the 4 year period has lapsed. What we basically say is that as long as a person has credits, the person should then be able to claim UI benefits. Go to the next slide. What we're also providing for is for use of beneficiaries, where people can be able to nominate beneficiaries for death benefits, because currently we face challenges where, for example, other beneficiaries might not be able to benefit from death benefits because either the spouse comes in and claims, for example, the benefits, and then children of the deceased might not be able to also claim once the spouse would have taken all the money that was due to the beneficiaries of the deceased. We also look at, want to also formalize the employment creation projects that we are funding. And those are the projects that would also, for example, be taking place through the public employment services. That's the clause that we're adding in the bill. We also then want to give our appeals committee the power to be able to adjudicate on late application for benefits. And one of the other things is also we're giving the ministers the power to be able to vary the income replacement rate. Currently, the income replacement rate is in the legislation, so if the minister or the department wishes to change, it requires legislative amendment. Currently, what we're doing now is so that the minister can be able to vary the income replacement rate. As the surpluses of the fund grow, if the minister feels that we might need to give more to beneficiaries, then she will be able to do that through a regulation as opposed to a legislative amendment. Lastly, also, in the last slide, we basically also looking at delinking the maternity benefits from unemployment benefits. Currently, if a person has exhausted all his unemployment credits, if a person goes on maternity, she will not be able to claim maternity benefits irrespective of whether there were credits or not. So what we're basically saying is that if a person, even though a person has exhausted his credit, a person can still be able to come and claim for maternity benefits when they need. We also then introduce a 66% flat rate for maternity benefits. Currently, it's also being used on a sliding scale, similar to unemployment benefits. We're now fixing that at 66%. And also to pay full maternity benefits for miscarriage that occurs in the third trimester. Currently, we are not paying at all for these. And lastly, we also then want to decrease the waiting period for illness benefits from 14 days to about 7 days. Currently, a person has to wait for 14 days before you can come and claim for illness benefits. We are reducing that now to 7%.
7 days. I just need to also introduce our chairperson, Ms. Welcome Ndumane. She's here with us. So I did not introduce him when we started. The chairperson of the US Board.
Oh, but. Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
I just want to be given assurance that the fact that the executive of the CFO was saying when a person has not claimed for 6 months, that person forfeits the right to claim. May that be the cause for your financial relief? Because if you look at the rate of unemployment out there, it is high. And I don't want to assume that it implies that everybody who is not working here never worked, so they don't qualify for UIF. Are we having lack of advocacy on the scheme to an extent that we are treated with funds that people are not coming forward to claim, or what is the scenario?
I think this entity, you know, which is a they put him in a difficult situation to, you know, criticize them. Mm. In the sense that they have prioritized, or some of their priorities are biased towards women. So for me, it is the first entity that I've met that really helps us as a country to take this country forward by recognizing the pain that women undergo during pregnancy as opposed to the oppression that they received in the past. So you know what, I was interviewing some kids in Salada House on Monday in my ANC work, students from a certain school. And I told them that I have scars inside me. And those scars have caused me to be, you know, steadfast in standing in for many issues. One of those things was that at some point I was given a 6 months unpaid leave for being pregnant whilst I was a single woman. And for me that was total discrimination. So now I think myself are going to be healed. There are some questions that we will pose as a comment. I think they might be, my comrade instrument will do that for us. Yes, we are. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. We should also appreciate that. Where we were seated. But then just a few clarities. The work is good. And if you are able to get a clean audit, so confident and continuously as you reported, that speaks itself to performance and in the whole range of issues.
I haven't picked it up, and maybe it's just out of my ignorance, pardon me. Your expansion plan, because good sound as it appears, it cannot be stated. Cannot be static. I did not pick it up. And on the breakdown of on the disabilities, you said 3.7, and on youth, you said 23%. I didn't pick it up on women, or it's not relevant. Yeah, it was not there. Yeah. Now again. You said you have saved and created jobs in 2013, 2014, and they were in two categories. One was not able to get it as to which ones created, which ones saved. Well, out of interest, in terms of how you're audited, I audited the same way as
previous one which we're dealing with. I audited the same one. You found a bit with this audit in your case was lenient. Honest, I don't know. But I just wanted to know those things.
Thank you, Chairperson. We want to commend the entity for the presentation as well as for the work that they have been done. I'm partly covered only on the one issue. It's just a small advice on the public education part. We know that they are making use of community radio stations to publicize the communities and the work that they are really doing. Just one concern is on the language issue, that they're not all the time using languages relevant to the particular target groups, and wanting to look into that area. Because the advertisements, they are sufficient, but we know that the people that actually need to get the message, they are, some of them are relying on their own languages. So it's just a small advice to them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, I'm hitting it. It was very well prepared and organized presentation. Just one, two questions. There is too much abbreviation that they don't explain. For mouse, we cannot. We teach us that those things. You must say mouse and explain what is it. Otherwise, you just pass. And GIS and ACL. You see, we must go with you. We can't stop you while you're talking, but let take us through. Yeah. And Labour Extension Fund, can you explain the purpose of it and what is it all about? And what the last question is, since the MPs are not covered by the UIF, don't laugh. Since they are not covered by the UIF, are they allowed to claim for the previous? I'm just asking. Are they allowed to claim for the previous employment? Thank you.
Okay, so thanks. If you think we can just change one. On page number 10, UIF strategies, I'm sorry, strategic plan. Talk about fund poverty alleviation scheme. All that I'm wanting to find out is, how do you identify schemes that need assistance and funding? I'm saying this because one is talking from experience. In 1998, for example, the trade union movement went to the late President Mandela and said, we have 40% unemployment rate in the country. And as a result of that, there was that major meeting. He convened labor, government, business, and as a result of that,
contributed their landings with it. I'm sure you remember.
Yeah.
And they came to 89 million rand, which I chaired for 10 years. And unfortunately, I've not put that in the plastic bag. So it came to 89 million rand. And of course, schemes were funded. But then, very many of those were schemes of people that stole a lot of money from the properties. Here's a scheme, 100 people come and say, we are hungry, so on and so on. This is the project, this is the plan. Give us 100,000 rand, you give them. But then thereafter, you disappear. So what I'm wanting to check from yourselves is how do you actually deal with that? How do you deal with the issue of corruption, both inside and outside? Inside, I'm referring to yourselves, because you, as the leaders, the people who are looking at this thing, and I am saying, one is talking from experience. The people who work inside will bring papers and say, here is the scheme. And you go out and fund the scheme, right? Only to find that such a scheme does not exist. How do you deal with that? But then even in instances where such schemes do exist, it will be a scheme where, for example, Chair Witt said, it must be 20 people or more. But then you find a person who comes there and says, no, we are 100 here, only to find that it's one person. And when you go and check thereafter to check if things were running properly and many people are employed in that particular scheme, you find that the opposite is the case. Are you dealing with that? How are you dealing with that? So that we can be able then to assess that. Number two, on page number five, the issue of the legislative mandate, point two, section 9 of the Act empowers the UI commissioner to do all that. If, for example, like we were talking about this kind of thing in the morning, where you have, in very many instances, people who are employers, but then who have to register themselves. You don't know, or we don't know, that these are employers. How do you identify them and make sure that they indeed pay, so that we then can be able to have the finances, etc., and move forward and ensure that people work in the country. And the last one is around the issue, page number 8, that the training of educators, training of math, etc., etc. What have you done? Are you checking with the Department of Education? Have you sat down with the Department of Education and agreed that yes, this is what we're going to do? And has the Department of Education come up to say this, so that operating in this kind of level, etc., etc.? I'm saying this because those of us who serve in that particular committee for basic education know that we have very serious problems in the country in so far as math and science teachers are concerned. Are you sitting down with the department? Have you been able to come up with you know, very clear guidelines so that you then are able to move. Or I'm saying this here because if the opposite is the direction, it means you are just wasting the resources of the country. But then if you are working with the department, then one will say that is quite good, because you then will be, we shall say that you are moving together to improve that speech is needed in the country. That's it.
Honorable Chair, at this time of the night, I suppose any report would be a good report. It's a relatively good report. And I'm reminded, Honorable Chair, of the accessibility that the entity is trying to create when it comes to potential beneficiaries of making use of the services by the daily ads that they hear on the radio that's particularly focused on women, and I think that that's very good. It creates a welcoming sort of conversation amongst women themselves to engage with the entity. Other than that, Madam Honourable Chair, I'm covered by the other speakers. But Mr. Commissioner, it's not always going to be this easy. Just well done. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, Honorable America speaking for himself in terms of the report this time can be a good report. It is a good report.
It is.
It's not about what time of the day. Yes, no, I understand that. The question, Chairperson, would be just 6,000 artisans trained by end of March 2015. And that is done with funds from your elders. I think that is commendable, but it will be 2015, 6,000. Another year, 6,000. Do we keep track of those people after all that? What do they do for this government? I wanted to check that. You see, but also the selection process, how do you select? Because I think each and every person trained from that system, there must be a proper process, but identification of the poor, so that one person, when he or she is trained, makes a difference in the family, because families are poor. So once you do that to one person, then you are, that person will run with everything that. So the tracking of those people. You know, the reason why, in my view, I'm saying the report is good, is that but also the clean audits, is it clean audits? The clean audits are not based on finances, how you have dealt with everything in terms of transport. So that kind of clean audit without making a difference, providing service delivered, like this one. For me, it will be just taking what is that doesn't have an impact in transforming the society. So I think those are some of the reasons why we say, or why I say, because I know another person who's saying what I'm saying. And actually, that's the reason why I'm saying it's a good report, because it deals with a transformation of our society, because this is what is happening. And I'm saying, if departments and entities across the board can have that in mind, that when you leave your home, you go to work as a public servant, priority is to fast track changing the lives of our people, because it has been so many years. So I'm saying, nakwezinye amadoda entities, nakwezinye entities and departments, I think that mindset is very, very necessary, so that we don't have a government with all these, if you like, tools of trade. Because the entities, the departments, it's what is supposed to be used in transforming our society. So I'm saying I commend the UIF on those bases, but I think you need to do more, because it will be very hard questions when you debate coming from these members. They can be very, very tough when they like. But thank you very much. I think the report is good.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try my best to answer questions, and I think my colleagues who work with me will also come in when I left some questions. I think the first question is an important question, because it says the money that you have, is it not because there are people out there who want to access their funds, but only to find that a period of 6 months has expired, but we have not paid them. I just need to indicate, Chairperson, that even if a period of 6 months comes and a person has not paid, we have appeals committees. People will appeal, and people will come and give reasons why they did not come. Some people will say we're not aware. Some people will say no, I was sick, and we do entertain those claims and we pay them. And we have also indicated that 86% of our claims are paid within a period of 5 months. So the 14% difference is paid over a long period of time. So the only claims that we reject will come to about 3%, etc. So we're not sitting with money that people are supposed to pay. So we actually have paid all that we're supposed to pay. The only time where we don't pay people is when people are not registered altogether with the funds. The other issue is the issue of the expansion plan that we have. It's a difficult question, Chairperson, because it wants us to focus into the future. I think I just need to indicate that the first thing that we believe we need to do is to make services better to our clients, which is our unemployed people. And the first thing that we do is that, can people apply sitting at home? Can we increase the maternity benefits? Can we improve the benefits? Because despite all these good things that we're talking about, the quality of our services must be desired, because if a person has worked 20 years and you pay them for 8 months, it can't be okay. So that's why, in terms of expansion, we want to increase the benefit period to 12 months. And the other thing, Chairperson, the training for us is something that is very important, because it's also not our core mandate. But when people come, a domestic worker comes and wants to claim UI and only has standard 8, for us to take that person from that level and train them on IT, for us we believe we are giving back to communities. And I just need to indicate that we so far we have been successful. We have projects, for instance, in Ladysmith, where people confess to say, I was unemployed, I did not have anything, but I'm in this project, I'm going to become an artisan after a certain period of time. And their salaries are actually moving from nowhere to quite an affordable salary. So for us, that is what we're talking about, expansion. But the other area, Honorable Chairperson, is the issue of our money has always been lying on the stock exchange, being used by big companies. But we've decided to say, can't we look at the private equity, give small people also the funding? So we have even schemes where we give people a loan of 5,000 rand. And we believe that once you go that way, the people who are working, those are the people who are going to become our beneficiaries. But if you give it to the stock exchange, those are people who are already making a lot of money. But the job creation issue is not for them, it's not important. But private equity, we have seen that, we've indicated with the IGC, was actually created so many jobs in terms of areas of textile and wood making and things like this. So for us, those is what we want to do. But we will have a peace of mind once we have a situation where we believe that we are paying people an affordable UIF benefit. In terms of disability, we agree that the 3.7 is not adequate, but we actually will move in the right direction. The issue of women is 50% per person, but we have exceeded that target. I think the target is 64%. So in terms of our management team, at an SMS level, that is director upwards, 64% are women. So we have exceeded a target of 64. In terms of jobs that have been created, the creation of jobs is on page number 9. We have created 23,268 jobs. Those are the new jobs that were created in the economy. In terms of saving jobs, it's 21,192. Honorable Chairperson and members. In terms of audit, we are audited the same, or we're audited by the Auditor General. So the Department of Labor Compensation Fund, the CITAS, they were all audited the same. So it's not that our audit was linear. In terms of public education, so we take that point that we need to talk about other languages. So when we get community radio stations, you go to Soweto Radio, Venda, and things like that. So we know that once you do that, some people don't have TV, so they depend on the community radio stations. So we are covering all languages, but we will actually try to adjust the budget to ensure that more is spent on other languages. The abbreviations that you have, I think we have one is ACL. ACL is Audit Command Language. It's a fraud prevention system. The Labor Activation Fund, the purpose of the Labor Activation Fund is a private equity fund. It's a fund that wants to invest not on the stock exchange, but in private companies, small companies. So the aim, the minister wants to consolidate the one from the compensation fund and the UI and make one thing, so that we can have private small businesses accessing the UIF. So that is the aim. Now, for people who like become members of parliament, but they previously worked, you know, there's only one obstacle, is that when you work, you can't access. But if you for instance you don't work, and you can also claim from the previous employer as long as you have claimed. So you can do that if you're not working. But when you work, it's unfortunate that you cannot claim. Now, Honorable Madika talked about how we identify this scheme. We don't give people money. You know, we have unemployed people in our database. What we do, we select them from our database, and we now work with employers, and then we also work with the sitters. So we bring them together, and that project is within our control. So we actually funding the process that we have created. So it's not a matter of someone gives us a proposal and say, I want to train these people to give them money. So we take it from our database, and it's very easy for us to monitor people when they come from our database. But the important point that you've mentioned is monitoring and evaluating, because after you have selected people and you place them into all the schemes, then you need to follow up to say what, for instance, some people you get into the schemes but they don't finish. So you need to check on them what has happened. Some people you, after a period of 6 months, because they have skills, they get employment, so they are working, they move out. But it's positive because when they move, then they open an opportunity for other people to come in. So the monitoring and evaluation is something that we do. And we believe once we don't do that, we may have a situation where the funds are utilized for the purpose that they're not intended to be utilized. How do we identify employers? We are lucky because if you don't contribute to the UIF, one day your employee will come to want to claim. And if they want to claim, then we check in our records, we realize that this employee is not registered, then we will actually come and find you. But through IES, Mr. Lamadi's section, he does the inspection and enforcement processes where he goes in the street and it identifies whether you are complying or not complying. But the other thing that is important, if you are not registered with the UI, you can't do business with the state because you can't get the tax clearance certificate. So those are some of the mechanisms that we are using. The training of educators, the only thing that we are involved with the Department of Higher Education and Training, but not the basic education. Because in terms of higher education and training, the skills that we are concentrating on are the skills which we believe are critical and scarce. You know, so they give us the list and then we work according to those skills. But unfortunately, with education department, we're not yet involved, but we're involved with people who, you need to give people artisan training, they need to have math and science. But unfortunately, we do find them from our database, but we're not interacting yet with the Department of Higher Education. I think the other one is the issue of accessibility of service. We believe that our services are accessible because I think a chaplain, if we realize now, is that people are, with a cell phone, you can do business. And a lot of people have cell phones. So accessibility also doesn't mean you have to have a laptop. You know, if you come like in this area, there's a Wi-Fi, and then you can go through the internet, and you can do business with that. So we believe in that area, in that regard, we can cover as many people as possible. Yeah, in terms of 6,000, the 6,000 is the minimum. But if we can do more, we will be able to do that. What we're trying to do here, Jefferson, is we're trying to work with FET colleges, because with FET colleges, we can actually in all areas. So it means if you go to an area like Cape Town, for instance, there's an FET college. If you go to Germiston, there's an FET college. So to expand our services, it will be important for us to work with FET colleges and try to refer our people to those FET colleges. And then I've already indicated, in the case of tracking, you know, when there is a people who have prepared people for training, we go there from time to time, get the reports, what is taking place there, are they passing or they're not passing, are they actually achieving their trade test, and that monitoring we do on a frequent basis. But eventually, if we put 6,000 people in the program, after a certain period of time, we need to have 6,000 people who have passed and who have been placed in jobs. That's what we do. And the selection process is also on merit, because we look at what we have in our database, and if we say we're targeting domestic workers, we you know, we just go there and then we just get the promoter to be a domestic worker. So at this point in time, we have not found situations where the selection process is compromised. So I don't know whether my CFO wants to add.
No, I think I'm satisfied, but just to raise one other point. You see, I believe if you're not working with the Department of Education, we may not achieve that which we're supposed to achieve. And I would then say, through your chair, I think they need to look into it. I'm saying this because if you check the statistics, out of 10 children that go into grade 1, it's only 4 that reach grade 12. And out of that 4, it may be 1 or 2 that go to institutions of higher learning. So basically what we have, we are adding to the unemployment rate in the country. That's why I'm saying it would be better if we were to look into ensuring that we have the teachers or educators who teach math and science at this particular level. I think that is very important, so that a chance is then opened for them as they go to institutions of higher learning, or a chance gets created for them before they go to FETs, etc., so that they then will be able to work. So I think they need to look into that. That will be able to assist us. Because simply saying they work with institutions of higher learning, who is going to be trained at the preparation, it does not help. Let me stop there. I hope they will be able to look into that. I'm satisfied with the others, and I hope if we intensify the work that we are doing thus far, we shall be able to go on.
Chair, can the entity that could give us a clear or we want to make clear the thing? When they say they have saved 21,000 crores, and then which company is that? And at the end, instead of working in Twitter,
does
that list of
sectors
include the
public services? No. The two which are present, the sectors that we're working with currently will be MICT for IT, MESITA for engineering and TIESA, and also the transport sector. We have not went to work with the public service, even the local government, not yet. But we will expand and look into this. Chairperson, in terms of the jobs that we've saved and created, we can provide a list, but they are in all provinces. But I can indicate that the areas where most jobs are created and saved are in the areas of your textile, areas of your agro-processing, in terms of your agriculture. But we can provide an extensive list with two provinces that indicate where we are actually saving the stock.
Thank you, members and department. We have come to the end of day one of our workshop. And when we started this, we didn't have an idea of what is going on in the department. But at least we can say something about the day.
serious engagement would come when you come back, because we have raised, members have raised concerns in certain areas, questions. And I'm sure the next meeting that we have with the entities and the department will be really meeting that means business. And by now you know what is that we want from you. I'm sure we will send, we'll make a follow-up of the questions that we want you, not only, I'm talking to you reported, not only to UIF, questions that we need more clarity or so that by the time you come here, you know exactly what is that you want and how do you prepare, how do you answer your questions. Anything that is vague and general, you are cheating us. Once you become general and not specific, we really don't take you serious because you don't take us serious. We want you to be spot on and talk about things that we have done. That is how we're going to work together. And it keeps yourself, your team members. This is your new committee. These are the members that you're going to be with for 5 years. So I'm sure all along you were also looking forward to know what kind of members, committee members. Are they members that we can put closely? Presentation and they say yes, so they would want to know more. So today, it's good to know who they are. And as I said earlier on this morning, we would want to have a smooth working relationship together. It can be smooth. There's nothing smooth in life. Your lives are not smooth. It has never been smooth anywhere. But we just manage because the challenges are there, but challenges are there to be overcome. And that's it for today. I will not give DG the time to speak today. We'll speak tomorrow because we're continuing. This is the first day. So tomorrow, when we part, then you can say something. But for now, we can go and sleep. And thank you, members. At least I know I can rely on you. At some stage, I thought you were listening.
Yeah.
What did I say to you?
kunolwazi ngoba yena lekho la yeah then there is lapha OPF baqala ukuphaka kwena that's why you have to end up
Gracias.